Genesis 24. This is almost like a wet rag. Every time I squeeze it, I get more out of it. But we're going to try our best to go to verse 60 today. I've noticed lately, and I agree with it 100%, that folks follow radical things, don't they? You get in a world that we live in and you get put out more than you want to. You're raised a certain way to mind your business and take care of things. But sometimes when the radical stuff comes out in a good way, somebody does it, something happens, and that radical is almost what we need. Again, I go back to 1979-80 when I voted for the first time. Voted for Ronald Reagan, first time I ever got to vote. And that was radical, wasn't it, compared to what was there then. And we're living in days like that right now where we're looking for someone or something that's radical enough, powerful enough to turn things around. But as soon as we say that, we need to realize that there's no one or nothing more radical than Jesus. To be radical with Jesus means we obey him strictly. And that's been the message just the last couple weeks. The servant of Abraham that goes to look for a bride. He was strict. He was obedient. He was radical. He didn't leave anything out. You're going to find today how more radical he has to get to finish the mission that God has him on. Everybody has a plan. I hear people, well, is that really true? That's really true. But to know what God's plan is for you, you have to be on his side and walk with him. You have to leave some things behind you, and you have to go forward in order to find out God's plan. God's plan is not always being in doubt. It's not always waiting. Sometimes it's wide open. And we need to radically move with the Lord in the way to the place where he'd have us to go. And I want to finish up to verse 60. We're going to start in verse 49. But let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you again for your love and your power. Lord, we pray for Keith that you would touch his back, Lord, this morning. Heal him and strengthen him. Help him to get back to work tomorrow. Pray for Miss Geneva and Brother Harold. Lord, we pray you'd bless her. Strengthen her. Lord, we thank you for Faith Ann. We pray that, Lord, you'd give her such a new start, a radical start, that she would, without a doubt, know continually that you're with her, that you've been with her, and you've blessed her. Bless our families. Bless everything that we need to have done today. And most of all, we just pray that your will in our hearts, whatever it is, would be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to repeat the lengthy part that we're going to not get from last week to this week. It's repeated itself twice. I've already went over it the first Sunday and last Sunday. May refer to it here in just a little bit. But sometimes all things do work together for good, don't they? Remember, and I've remembered all week that there's been times that from college, leaving the high school days behind, getting married, leaving all that dating life behind, having children. Oh, man, I hope we never leave that behind because they brought us grandchildren. It's good. But sometimes in our lives, things do work together and they're good because God did it. It takes a while sometimes to get there. And probably the most frustrating times we have is by doing the Lord's will. And right before he blesses us, we really get stressed. We get very impatient. And then when he does and promises and keeps it, he was doing it all the time, wasn't he? He was already working it out. He was already lining things up. And if you're like me, you almost go, man, why couldn't I have just waited a little bit before I got stressed? But we're all the same. That's just the way we're made up. But sometimes things all things do, work together for our good. Verse 49, the servant says to Rebekah's brother, And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, which was Abraham, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink. Okay, there was a celebration because the servant had went through a whole lot of trouble to get where he was at. The first part of the message, in fact, the last 2 weeks, has all to do with the servant. Or in our case, the Holy Spirit of God that's coming after us to lead us. We're the bride of Christ. The church is. And the Holy Spirit is looking for a bride even to this day to add to the bride, to add to the church. Every time somebody gets saved, spiritually, they're part of the body of Christ. We all have good examples of the times when we were saved, the time we were saved. How radical it was. I mean, when I was growing up, it was all, if you don't get right, you're going to go to hell. And some people say, well, there's no reason to get saved. Well, what's a better reason? That's the best reason I know, because I believe there was a hell. And I was 11 years old, and there's a lot of things I doubted and didn't think a lot about. But the Lord put on my heart, I knew that I was lost. And I knew if I was lost and I died, I'd go to hell. That was a big, big, big part of me getting saved. In fact, if you're saved in this world and saved from that world, that's radical, isn't it? And when I hear it today, we preach that a lot. I do. There's other things that we talk about, being born again, being converted. But when it comes to soul winning, and that's what I've been on for 3 weeks, the greatest understanding we can have that's going to get us through the rest of our Christian life on this earth is to look at ourselves as the bride of Christ. Because it's a commitment. It's ever, never ending. It keeps going. The fear sometimes and the bold preaching and some of the radical things that we want to do, those come and go. But when we compare it to a marriage, that's what will get us committed to each other. That's what will get us, I think, understanding the right way of how God wants us to be joined with Him and Him joined with us. Now, everything went well. The servant or the Holy Spirit went on his journey. He discerned. He prayed. The Lord opened up a girl that would fit just right. And he had every idea and every understanding that Rebekah was the one. But now, from God's side to men's side, the Holy Spirit's done a whole lot in our lives to get us up to being saved. It wasn't all us. There was a lot of things that happened in my raising and your raising before we got saved. There was a lot of things the Holy Spirit did that we don't even know about. Maybe we'll never know. Of setting us up, like in my case, moving us where we was supposed to be, where I could hear the gospel. I went to 8 different schools. Growing up, I went to 3 different high schools in 2 different states. I went from a school up north, right outside of Cleveland. When I was a sophomore, we had over 700 kids. And my junior year at Easter break, we moved from Ohio to Texas. I went from over 700 kids in my class to 40 in Grand Saline, Texas. I wrestled in Ohio, but they didn't have wrestling. They had rodeo. And I was a Yankee. And I don't know about you, but there's a little bit difference in wrestling and rodeo. I had to learn to say wrestling. That was hard for me, but I can say it, wrestling. But so many times in my life now as I look back, it was a blessing for me from a little child. From kindergarten, first, second, third. Fourth grade was the first time in my life that I went to the same school 2 years in a row. And it bothered me for a while, but looking back, I'm good. I'm better. I've learned how to get in places. I've learned how to be careful. I've learned how to back up and look. Because every school was the same and every group of kids was the same. In junior high school, I knew really pretty much how to pick things and to see who I wanted to be with and who I didn't in a group of kids. And through the years of pastoring, I realized that things that worked out for good, it was because God did it. And when God does it, it takes a while. So the time is up in the scriptures. Everything's settled to where the servant really believes with all his heart, with all the leadership, with all the discernment, that Rebecca is the girl for Abraham's son, Isaac. He got to the right place. He got to the parents. And we read just a little bit ago that he talked to the parents. And the first thing he said was, "I found this girl. Do you think it's all right?" Now, if you don't think she's the one, you tell me, and I'll go to the left or I'll go to the right. I'll leave you, and I'll go somewhere else. If we would go back and remember the first two sermons, we find out that God gives the Holy Spirit responsibility to win us for the Lord. As the servant did, the servant said, "What if I go, Abraham, to a far land? And what if I find a girl for your son? And what if she doesn't want to come back?" He says, that's her choice. She has a responsibility. If you find a girl, you present it to her, and she does not want to be the wife of my son, you're not accountable. You're not in trouble. Go find one somewhere else. In the salvation experience that we have, the Holy Spirit is sent by God to do a work in our spirit, in our soul. And as he gets closer and closer and tries to get us to see more and more that we're lost and that we need a Savior, the responsibility is on us. There comes a time when it's finished, just like what we've read so far, that the Holy Spirit will draw us so much that if we refuse to be saved at that time, the Holy Spirit's not in any trouble. He's not responsible. We are. Okay. Now, if you're like me, I believe even as an 11-year-old child, God told me more than once. I came up to that line. Haven't y'all? I mean, there was times I really feel like earlier that somebody could have got saved. I've heard testimonies. I was that close. I understood. I couldn't sleep all week long. It came time to present myself or to talk to the preacher or to go for prayer. And I didn't do it. And that's happened many times to some folks. But there came a time when the Holy Spirit didn't quit, didn't give up. And there was one day special, wasn't there? And we had that power. And we did what we needed to do to receive the Lord as our Savior. Well, he's to this point now. He's beginning to talk to the parents. And he says, "Now, the Lord has led me this way. I've been discerning everything. Everything has worked out the way the Lord has led me. And I believe she's the one." And they said in verse 51, "Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And then in verse 50. He says that Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." So what happened was, when all things begin to work together for good, they were told by the Spirit or the servant, Holy Spirit in our way, that this is it. And they said, if it's from the Lord, if this thing's from the Lord, there's nothing we can do. She's before you. She's right here. So at this time, it looks like they really do agree and they really do believe. And they realize that this man has come a long way. He's been blessed. He wants Rebecca. He thinks she's the one. And we have to agree between us that our daughter, this Rebecca, that she must be the one. They didn't go through what the servant did. They understood what he told them. And they said, okay, we understand, we agree. And if she's the one, and if this is the one God wants, there's nothing that we can do. Did you know when somebody's fixing to get saved, there's not anything we can do about it? Is there? I know from past history where a lot of kids will ask questions. I've answered a whole lot of questions, learned a whole lot of things. But there's been many times. Almost all of them. Almost every person that I've been able to watch get saved or be a part of. The day that they come, there's no questions. I've never talked to anybody that's had one foot in the pew and one foot in the aisle still. When it came time, there they came. It might have been a week before that I had a question. They asked a question. And the best questions that are asked are saying to me, where in the Bible does it say this? Not what do you believe or what do you think I ought to do? Most people with the best answers are asking questions on where in the Bible does it say. That means they have a mind, they have a heart, and they're that close to an understanding. It's a choice to be saved or not. We have a responsibility. Rebecca has a responsibility. Will you go or won't you? Well, it hadn't got to her yet. It's been a slow, long process. And when it's a slow, long process, it proves that emotion didn't have anything to do with it. There's a lot of folks that the devil and family members will tell folks that they're just emotional. They really don't know, but I know different. Because I've talked to these people for weeks, some of them years. And when somebody's been studying on something for weeks and for years, and they finally let loose, it proves the emotion was gone a long time ago. It's strictly obedience. It's responsibility. As hard as it is, and as shy as some people are, every one of them got to the point where they agreed. And they said, I want to be saved. Look at verse 54. They celebrated, and they did eat and drink. He, the men, and that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. He was ready to go. He's ready to get Rebekah and take her back to Isaac. And her brother, Laban, and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. It changed all of a sudden. The servant got up in the morning and he said, okay, this is the day. I'm fixing to take Rebecca and we're fixing to go back. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. We would like for her to stay just a little bit longer. Maybe even 10 days. And all of a sudden the servant got radical. Goes with my title. Hinder me not. I've saw folks and listened to folks pray, and they're so close to making a decision for the Lord, and someone or something hinders them. Stops their mind. They misunderstand or one thing or another. And the biggest problem that we've got is even those that are very close to us don't see it like the Lord does. They don't see it like Rebecca will. They don't understand the spiritual side. It seems that way because it is that way. There's a lot of folks that don't realize what goes behind a spiritual calling. They don't realize what God is doing on the first side of everything. There's a big radical change when we go from one part of our life to the next. Making friends, changing cities, different things like that. especially being saved or getting married. It's a big deal, isn't it? And people have enough problem processing how the Lord's working. They don't need anybody to hinder them. They just need to let it go. And this servant spoke like the Lord would do to us, is leave people alone. Don't stop the kids from coming to me, is what he told them. Jesus told him that, didn't he? There's people that are fulfilling the plan of God, from salvation to marriage to a new life start. And God has worked and worked and worked and worked. And it's all on him, the preparation, the processing. And now it's up to the individual. And most of the time, we don't even know God's dealing with somebody. Rarely we do. But in this particular case, God was fixing to take this little girl and go back with the servant. Folks need to realize that we can't hinder. We can't slow. We can't stop God's working without being in trouble. And I won't go into the many, many stories. I could tell you so many of how I feel like the Lord took care of some hindrances. You probably have some too. When folks wouldn't get out of things, wouldn't leave them alone. Did you know God can make it very clear sometimes that we need to get out of there? That we need to leave it alone? Relationships can be burnt to a crisp forever, can't they? Even though we want to, we need to be very, very careful in spiritual things. Because God's plan for somebody's life, especially somebody that we love, we need to be very careful not to get in the way of what God is doing. And if we do, it's because we don't look on the spiritual side. Look at all the things the last 2 weeks that we studied on. It was all just the servant leaving Abraham, going out on a journey with 10 camels. This was not one of them. And all the things that he did before he even approached Rebekah. All the spiritual things he does to little children is they keep growing and growing and growing until it comes time for him to confront them. Look at verse 57. They finally got out of the way and they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister," not mother and daddy, like I said earlier. Blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou mother of thousands, of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Now, finally it came to Rebekah. And she'd heard the whole story behind how it got to this point. I wish we could be able to understand like she did. She heard something like this from the servant and from her family on how it came to be that she needed to be the one. It was her choice, and she made the right choice, and she made it at the right time. What do you want to do? Do you want to go with this man? And she said, "I will." She'd never seen Isaac. She'd never met him. She didn't even hear about him yet. She just knew that his father was the one that sent this servant, and this father was probably very rich. Did you know we've never seen Jesus? Have we? We know of his riches. We know that he sent the Holy Spirit to come to deal with us and convict us and show us. And when we truly let go, what do we say? "I will." And the Holy Spirit says, "Will you be saved?" And the Holy Spirit would have been just like the servant, and Rebekah could hear the servant say that, "I came from way over here to find a wife for my master's son." My master is very rich. He's very blessed of God. And I need to find a wife. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and the Lord opened the door. And the servant went on to say that I had to not want to choose her myself, but I put a prayer out and said, "Lord, whichever girl does such and such, that will be the one." She didn't know that when she did such and such. She did exactly what he prayed, to make that decision on God and God alone, where the servant didn't have anything to do with the choice. The Holy Spirit sought us out. And we're just like Rebecca. I wish we could hear what God the Father said to the Holy Spirit. "I need you to go down to earth. And I need you to find somebody, and we'll get them saved. And they're going to grow in Christ, and they're going to be stronger. And one of these days, when all my brides are saved, I'm going to present them to my son Jesus. And there's going to be a marriage. There's going to be a wedding feast. And they're going to be together forever and ever and ever." I wish that I could bring that out more. It's been really, really special to me the last couple of weeks. That just like the servant is talking to Abraham, just as he's praying to the Lord, just as he's talking to these family members of how special this girl is going to be and how far she's going to go back and how much already she's loved, because there needs to be a bride. "Will you go?" And she said, "Yes, I'll go." Never seen him, never met him. Just like us, huh? Now, I'm going to bring this together, and we're going to talk about being radical. Is that okay? God's radical, isn't he? God has in his heart for us that we have everything he wants us to have. That we get saved, we grow strong, we attempt to win others to him, and we're very strict. We're very prayerful, and there's no one or anything that can be more radical than Jesus. When we get down, when we lose our peace, when we feel like nobody loves us, when we deserve what we get, and we waller sometimes in our emotions, God still loves us. And his riches are peace and joy in love. And if you're here and you're a little older and you've never lost that, I want to talk to you. I've lost my peace. I've lost my love sometimes. I've lost my joy many times. And there wasn't any money, there wasn't any people, there wasn't any counseling, there wasn't anything at all that could get it back. But the love of God brought it back to my heart many times. How about you? Showed me that he loved me. Showed me what peace was like. And it was the most radical love that I've ever had in my life. Turn to Matthew 19, if you would. Matthew 19, look at verse 1. "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?'" That's divorce, just for any old reason. That's what they wanted to know. "Jesus, what do you say about this?" Then in verse 4, he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.'" See that? Two becomes one, don't they? "Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And I'm not wanting to talk about man, physical. I want to talk about spiritual Jesus Christ is our groom if we're saved. We've been joined together, Jesus and me and Jesus and you. And no man can tear us apart or asunder. We're joined together spiritually, Jesus and me and you and Jesus, right? And no matter what the message was or what words we prayed, we know we're saved. But from here on out, the best and greatest way to look at salvation and the winning of our souls is to look at Jesus and me joined together as a married couple. Spiritually speaking, huh? When we begin to look at things like that, I've got everything. I've got His love. I've got His peace. I've got His joy. What could I give Him in riches except obedience? And return my love to Him by loving Him more radically than I love anything or anyone else. The more I've grown and the more I've pastored and the more I've understood that me and Jesus are joined together, that's took care of most every problem I've ever had. I've never experienced spiritually what I have the last 2 years since I've been here. I guess it's just the timing. I guess the Lord's let me grow to this part of my life. But there's things I study every week that I've never understood before. I'm serious. There's a love I have for my wife and my kids and grandkids that I've never, ever had before. It might be that I have time now where I didn't have time before I retired. I don't know. But the greatest way for me to grow and be a good pastor and be a good husband and to win anybody else around me is not just look at myself saved, but radically look at myself joined together with Jesus. And I'm not talking about just thinking it. It's in me. It's through me. Don't know where it came from. Don't know why it took so long. And there's a lot of folks that have a lot of doubts because of these things. I know some preachers, and I can tell them this morning that you're probably going to have to wait till you retire to have any time to take a breath. People today, husband and wife, it might be a long time before you can take a breath because you both got to work. You both got to make a living. Everything costs so much. It might take a while. But the Lord still loves us on His side radically, doesn't He? Now, that one went over pretty good. Turn to Matthew 11. This is the hard one here. Matthew 11. This is Jesus talking to the disciples of John the Baptist. Verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, who went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. And that wasn't a compliment. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, before I go to verse 12, John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. Faithful man. Did you know how he lost his life? He was beheaded because of his radical love for Jesus Christ. Okay? That's our example this morning. But look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Violence, that's pretty violent to get your head took off, isn't it? Pretty violent to put Jesus on the cross and holler and spit and kill him and shed his blood. That's radical, isn't it? That is violence. But we're violent. We're radical. And we take the kingdom by force. What does this mean? I'll tell you what this means. The more violent and radical the world gets with me, the more violent and radical I need to get with the Lord. What makes us follow someone in something radical is because we perceive to be true that these folks, no matter what anybody does to them, try to shoot them or do shoot them, it doesn't make people afraid. It makes them more radical to the point to where I draw nearer and I get closer and closer to the Lord. That's radical, isn't it? And what we need to do is realize if we're going to make it in this world, and if we're going to be joined together with Jesus and we're going to walk with him on this earth, knowing that what they did to him, they're going to do to us. And instead of going down and weakening, we need to get bold. And we need to say, I'm going to do the same thing. You do whatever you want to me. My family, my kids, my church, my life is the most important thing. And there's one thing greater than that. And that's realizing that one day I'm going to be married to Jesus. Right now I'm engaged. And I'm not going to get out of it. Can't get out of it. And because I'm joined with him, things are going to work out. I'm going to get some strength. I'm going to get some boldness. And everything that you've had happen to you good lately, it was already in the process when we felt the most stressed. Think about it. It happens. You know why? Because there's a devil. There's a violence of stress, even in our own spirit and soul, that wants so bad to be a blessing to God and follow him. And right before we get that chance, the devil puts all on us that he can. And then next week, oh my goodness, what a blessing. Whew. Amen. I got to be violent, radical. And I need to keep learning from this experience that I thought it was the end of the world. It was because I didn't know what to do. It was because I prayed. It was because I tried to do right. All the stress that folks are going through isn't because of sin all the time. It's because I want to, but I can't. And God's working it out. All things work together. And right before they work together, here it comes. And when it happens to you once, it's going to happen to you again. Because that's the process of this world. Because it's violent, isn't it? But we take the kingdom by violence. We gain, we grow, we get stronger by rebelling against our own flesh and saying, I'm not going to do it. I might get down and I might get worried again. I might get stressed out. But I know here in just a little while, God's going to bless me. That's the way it works when you're joined together with Jesus. And sometimes he'll let us take on more stress than we think we can handle. But in your life, please listen. Go back and prove this true to yourself. The big things in my life that are accomplishments. Before I got to the end, the most violent attack from the devil I ever had came along. They cut off the head of John the Baptist. Why? To make everybody else afraid. To terrorize them. That's what they was wanting to do. Terrorism. And Jesus said he was the greatest one. And y'all are going to have to be a little violent, a little radical, to put up, to take up, and go forward. And I look back in my life, the worst violence that the devil ever put on me was right after I surrendered to preach. I surrendered to preach when I was 17 years old. I went before a church, probably we had about 400. And I preached my first message. Whew. Man, it was awful. It was terrible. And I was so happy. And just a couple weeks later, the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life happened right after that. Broke my heart, broke my life. And what God was doing for me was letting the devil get me one good time, because that next semester I was 300 miles away in a college. For the second semester, I met Sandy. What a violent attack I had. But what a blessing. And I look back, and you look back, and it's true in our lives. Because we take Jesus in a radical way, and we want to do everything we can to be a part of Him and Him of us. If they'll cut off John the Baptist's head, if they'll put Jesus on a cross, if they'll kill Charlie Kirk, we need to take it by violence, don't we? Not fight fire against fire. But there's nothing more radical than an understanding that me and Jesus are joined together. And that's how I live my life. It just wasn't one real hard preaching and I surrendered and I got saved, I got baptized, and that's it. That's not it at all. I can't keep going with that experience without being bothered. But I can go the rest of my life on this earth with the understanding and the teaching that just like two married people, I'm joined to Jesus and He's joined to me every day, all day. Lord, what is it You want me to do? Where do You want me to go? You're going with me. I know You are. And when I mess up, He's there to convict me, because we're joined together. I don't know how anybody could live a Christian life any other way than what I'm telling you about this morning. Because the worst is yet to come in a physical way. Y'all bless us so much. We've been through ourselves a lot lately. We really have. And Sandy's been through more than I have. I can't imagine. Some of y'all are such a blessing just watching you this morning to get here. People don't realize how much it takes for some older folks to get here like they do. But they'd rather be here than anywhere, huh? And you're a blessing to me. Most of them are back in here. Some of them are here and some are there. I had to get that right. Learn from Bobby on that one, Brother Bobby. But this morning, I don't know how to end except to say that we can have it so good, can't we? We don't have to get run over. We don't have to get beat up. We don't have to hand our emotions and our life over to the devil. Because when he's working really hard, God's fixing to already work it out. Because it's all going to come together for good. Because he says so. And we may have a bunch of them, but that's okay. There's more coming in this world, because it's a violent, radical world. But greater is he that's in me and with me than he that's in the world. If you're here today and you're not right, you need to be right. You need to come. Will you come? If you're here and you're lost, you need to be saved. Will you be saved? Anything else you need, would you come? I can pray with you. You can pray by yourself. But as the servant said, it's all up to you. Will you come? Will you come? I want to ask you if you would stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.